Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, this was the story that I was referring to there. For those of you who caught the end of the 6 o'clock hour, we got a phone call from Stephen Ballantyne, and I was making the point that here you have these liberal judges and these liberal Supreme Court justices here in Montana, and they do the dirty work for the Democrats. See, the Democrats don't want to support policies, and they don't want to pass an agenda that gets the support of Montanans. So they don't get so they haven't earned a majority in the legislature. So instead, they use these liberal judges to do their dirty work for them. They use these liberal federal judges to block forest health projects, block timber projects. And then we wonder why our forests go up in smoke. They use these liberal justices on the Montana Supreme Court to act like lawmakers and to push these this judicial activism from the bench. They use these liberal judges and these liberal justices to shut down coal mining projects or to block other mines from getting up in operation. And so anyway, here you go. Tom Lutie had this story here this week. And I mentioned this story on Monday, but this was the update. Because the story that I mentioned on Monday was that the Montana Supreme Court had kind of, put a halt on a coal mine expansion permit. But now that coal mine expansion permit has been vacated by the Montana Supreme Court, by the liberal Montana Supreme Court, by the way. In issuing permits for expansion of a key Montana coal mine, the Montana Supreme Court says that state regulators have consistently ignored water quality laws. Yeah, sure they have. On Wednesday, the Montana Supreme Court vacated a permit for the Rosebud Mine. Look, this is how this works for those who don't understand this here. When they say that they want to expand, they're not – okay, they go to this piece of ground, they mine the coal. Then they need to go to another piece of land to continue mining coal. So they're not expanding here. They're just continuing operations. So the liberal Montana Supreme Court basically just said, no, we're not going to allow you to continue operations. That's what these liberals on the Montana Supreme Court did. And by the way, coal dollars fund scholars. Coal helps fund schools. Coal helps fund libraries. So remember that when these liberal Supreme Court justices are up for re-election. Speaking of people doing the dirty work, we mentioned, the Democrats have these liberal judges to do the dirty work for them. Well, you need somebody to do the dirty work for you. Let me tell you who can do the dirty work for you. You know who it is. It's our friend Billy Beattie and his crew at BD Equipment Services. But here's the deal. He can help you with your timber project. He's not going to shut down your timber project. He's going to help you with it because he can remove big trees if you need to clear out a pad to build a new cabin. He can tear down an old house so you can build a new one. Or later in the spring, if you want to put in a garden, BD Equipment can do that for you. They can do big projects. They can do some of those smaller projects. So check out BD Equipment, BLGS.com, BD Equipment, BLGS.com, and let BD Equipment do the dirty work for you. And we'll deal with those judges during the elections.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. Have you ever opened your cell phone bill and thought you were getting a good deal but realized you're still paying far too much? It's possible to lower your bill by making some tweaks, like opting for auto pay. Most wireless carriers like T-Mobile and Verizon will knock off $5 to $10 from your bill if you sign up for automatic payments. Or you can switch to a prepaid plan or carrier. Prepaid plans from Verizon, T-Mobile, and AT&T start at around $30 to $40 for a limited amount of data. Consider changing or removing your cell phone insurance and you'll save anywhere from $80 to $300 annually. Skip the upgrade. Keeping your smartphone for even a year after it's paid off can save you hundreds of dollars. Consider adding one or more lines and split the cost with other people. Cash in on discounts like for students, government workers, among others. And be sure to review your current plan and talk to your provider about additional ways to lower your bill. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, well, a couple quick sidebars here for just a second. Then we got a great guest in the house with us here. I mentioned this in the 6 o'clock hour. Hey, we've got this story on our Montana Talks website about how apparently they're planning to build another high-rise in downtown Billings, and it would be a 12-story building. And so we've got this story on our Montana Talks website, and so I was asking, hey, what are some of the other tallest buildings in Montana? Of course, we're in one of them right here. With 23 floors of the DoubleTree Hotel in downtown Billings, you got the first Interstate Tower, which how many are they? I know they're taller than this one. But then I was thinking, okay, well, what's one of the tallest buildings in Bozeman? You know, to put this in perspective for our friends in Bozeman right now. Okay, so there's a new 12-story building planned for downtown Billings. What would that look like in Bozeman? And as I was looking back on some of the taller buildings in Montana, let's see here. How many floors? Some people think, what is it? What is the tallest building in Bozeman? Some may think it's the Baxter Hotel, but it's actually now the Kempton Armory Hotel. But you know, nine floors. But man, if you walk past the Kempton Armory Hotel, you're like, wow, that thing's tall. Nine floors. Think about it. We're 23. Well, 22 when you take out the 13th floor. Joining us on the top floor right now, our good friend Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. Doc, good to see you. Thanks for dropping in here.
Good morning. Good view when you're at the 23rd floor.
It is. It's beautiful. We're getting a little daylight right now. You can see the mountain starting to pop out there a little bit. Yeah, no, it's a great view. It's fun. We'll get like people from the Flathead that'll come, and you know, and these guys live on the shores of Flathead Lake, and they come up here, they're like, wow, this is cool. And I'm like, okay, let's trade.
It's just a little different than what their usual view.
I'll take your Flathead Lake studio location. You can have this one, you know, as much as I love it. But I don't know if you heard this in the 6 o'clock hour, but I played this clip from the great military historian and world historian Victor Davis Hanson, a United Nations agency that's supposed to be helping people with, you know, that are impoverished, you know, helping people who don't have enough food to eat. This UN agency instead is telling us here in the West to curb our meat consumption, to not eat so much beef, not eat so much chicken. And I'm like, man, this is crazy that they are literally pushing the absolute wrong message if they actually cared about health.
Very, very true. Your body is made of protein. And when you're every day, your body breaks down and rebuilds itself. And everything you can see with your eye on your body or feel with your hands is made of protein. And you have to have protein in order to replace that. And animal protein is a great source of protein. It's more complete than most of the plant proteins.
Yeah, so, you know, really, that's why the program Billings Last Diet, the reason your program is so successful is not just because of the great coaches that you have, but because it's an ideal protein-based program. You want your folks to get the ideal amount of protein in their daily diet because then their body will focus on burning the fat. Yeah. But still maintaining their muscle mass so that you don't just, you know, lose a bunch of muscle and then feel good about the weight on the scale. You're actually maintaining your muscle but burning the fat.
And when you understand how science works and how the body works, you'll know that the body is going to utilize anything it can for an energy source. And muscle is an energy source. And so if you don't have the right amount of protein, the body will say, I have to have protein. And so I will find protein in the form of breaking down my muscle during my weight loss process. And so that's what we do with Billings Last Diet. We circumvent that process by giving you the ideal amount of protein, giving you the good quality proteins that you need, both through our product that we have there and the natural protein sources like good beef and chicken and pork.
Yeah, and so even while you're in the main weight loss phase of Billings Last Diet, you're still, you know, for dinner, typically, you can still have some Montana beef. You can have some chicken. You can have, you know, a good source of protein. And then they're going to make sure you're getting your veggies in right. Yeah. But they'll give you ideas on how to make those veggies taste better. And so, but that's key to really losing the weight. Now, some people, they might want to wait till January to focus on losing the weight, but that's all right. They can either sign up for a free seminar through Billings Last Diet right now, or they can wait till January and, you know, but they could call and sign up for a January class right now. If
absolutely.
I'm not mistaken, right?
We can get you signed up now. We have a lot of people who are taking the, doing the seminar. We're pretty picky. We won't start anybody on the diet until they understand why the diet works and how the diet works. So you attend one of these seminars, which we make them fun, but we have a lot of people that are attending seminars right now, and then they will start in January. So today we'll have a class of about three or four people in our class of Wednesday, every Wednesday at noon. So today we have about three or four people that are signed up. And it's interesting to see, do they want to start now? Or do they want to wait until January? And we're good either way.
Yeah, either way works. Well, if you're somebody who's been through the program before and you just want to shave off, you know, a few pounds before Christmas, you could do a tune-up right now.
Absolutely.
Great time to do a tune-up. Or you could wait till January to do that. But, I like that idea of like, okay, I know I want to lose weight. It's just been depressing me. I've got to make something happen. I've been working out all the time, but yet that just makes me hungrier and make me eat more. Well, then just sign up for the program. Take it off your plate for the holidays, and then in January you can then focus on being successful.
Make the decision now. That's what we're encouraging people to do. If you know if you need to lose some weight, so make the decision now that you're going to lose the weight. And if you don't start that process until January, we're good with that.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and that's the key, is because you want people to be successful, because that's how your program is successful.
Right.
By people spreading the word about, hey, this worked for me.
Yeah.
And people don't even need to spread the word, because just seeing people, people are going to say, hey, what did you do? What have you been doing?
Walking billboards.
That's right. and then before you know it, all you do is talk about Billings Last Diet at every event you go to, because you're so thankful with this life-changing experience. I want to get your take on this University of Montana health disinformation class, if you can, stand by. Man, I'll tell you what, on Monday morning show, we started off the 6 o'clock hour with Senator Steve Daines on Fox News talking about the Senate races in 2024. Then in the 7 o'clock hour, some very interesting business news with Evelyn Pyburn in the Big Sky Business Journal. Wind power blades made from wood instead of metal. Imagine that. That was in the 7 o'clock hour. Then John Jackson, the Joker, in the 8 o'clock hour. An update on the homeless shelter in Lewistown in the 9 o'clock hour. All the audio, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
As the 68th Montana Grain Growers Convention gets underway in Great Falls, farmers are eager to see a farm bill passed. Obviously not here in 2023, but in 2024. Jake Westland is Vice President of Policy for the National Association of Wheat Growers. He shares more on the policies and priorities they would like to see in the upcoming farm bill.
And we advocate for a handful of things. Full funding for the U.S. Wheat Barley Scab Initiative, $15 million, and that's been fully funded for a number of years now. One thing that is new that we've been advocating for a couple of years now is what we're calling the Wheat Resiliency Initiative. And we were asking for $1.6 million this year, and that would cover a few things. One of those being wheat stem soft fly, which I know is a huge issue in Montana. We were glad to see the committee passed versions that came out of the House and Senate Appropriations Committees back in the summer months, that included $1 million that is new funding for the Wheat Resiliency Initiative, which would cover and help support additional resources for wheat stem soft fly. While we're still waiting to get a full fiscal year 2024 appropriations bill signed into law, that is in both the House and the Senate version is a good sign.
The Montana Grain Growers Convention will run through Thursday in Great Falls at Montana Expo Park. Registration is still open, and folks are encouraged to drive to Great Falls and attend. I'm Wayne Northline.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I got an update here from Captain Kent O'Donnell with the Yellowstone County Sheriff's Office. I want to share with you here in just a few minutes. Plus, coming up around 7:40, we're going to have some big breaking news for you here on Montana Talks regarding the 2024 elections and the Montana Supreme Court. So stand by for that big news and the guest we have coming up for you at 7:40. Plus, I want to talk about this kid at the Kansas City Chiefs game. That was a story I wanted to cover yesterday, but got some great Jesse Waters clips to share with you this morning as well. Dr. Dale Williams with Billings Last Diet. One of the things I wanted to get your take on. So We have this story on our Montana Talks website. The University of Montana has a professor, and she is going to be doing a course on health disinformation. I should reach out to this professor just to find out more information about the class. But I got to say, I'm just initially skeptical, especially, you know, I went to the University of Montana. I hope that the class actually will tackle health disinformation, but I think that it's just going to be more on the actually, it's going to just be more COVID propaganda instead of tackling the actual disinformation. Because especially in the last 3-4 years, I mean, whether you put the vaccine stuff aside for a moment, put masks aside for a moment, but just when it came to the bigger picture, they weren't focused on the right information about what actually it would take to protect people and make people healthier. And that's what you talk about every day at Billings Last Diet.
Yeah, so I hope the class on disinformation isn't a class that is giving health disinformation like we received for the couple of years during the pandemic. And so I would suggest, if I had an opportunity to have her ear, I would say, let's talk about the health disinformation that comes out with research. You can have a research project that's funded by whatever drug company or whatever food industry, and they will skew it to their advantage, or they'll bury the other information. So health information is really good, but you have to be careful of where your sources are and see what the motive is behind the publishing of the research.
And one of the things I remember, especially when it came to COVID-19, is there were these news reports that would suggest or outright say, well, this community is being targeted because of their race. And it's like, well, is that really what's happening? Or is this certain segment of the population, do they have higher rates of obesity, which means they're more vulnerable to any disease, but even COVID-19? But they were making it sound like, well, it's because these communities don't get services, and that's why they're dying at higher rates of COVID-19, even though they were more masked up, even though they were more locked down, even though they had higher vaccination rates. Like, maybe the underlying factor was actually obesity, and that topic, instead of the number of health clinics or the number of vaccinated or the number of lockdowns or the number of masks.
So health is not racist. I mean, we have genetic components to health that are inherent in whatever race you are. You have weaknesses and you have strengths. But your choices on how your health is has nothing to do with race. It is what your personal decisions that's the biggest contributor to what would lead to good health. And that's what I was always saying during the pandemic. Let's do the things we can do to increase the chance of your body fighting off any disease that comes your way. That's where true health comes from. It doesn't come from anything else. It doesn't come from the outside.
Yeah, and it is amazing that losing the weight, how it improves all those factors and heart disease and the underlying risk factors there and the death toll. No, it's fascinating that, you know, the number of people that you've helped. Hey, look, if you want help, if you tried to diet on your own, you tried to lose the weight on your own, get a hold of Billings Last Diet. You know, like we mentioned, BillingsLastDiet.com, or you can give them a call, 294-6751. You really have. I mean, we've heard it from our listeners. Like, man, I'm so glad that I heard about this program through your radio show.
Well, so we appreciate your example of leading the way in good health by losing the weight and keeping it off.
Well, and even if I get a little astray, well, accountability.
Always the case.
Show up, do that 1 15-minute check-in with the diet coach once a month. They get you back on track.
So, yep.
Yeah. All right, Doc, good to see you. Happy good holidays to you. If we, we'll see you again before Christmas.
So yeah, we'll probably be in before Christmas, if not right after.
That's right. All right, sounds good. Well, great to see you. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. The note that I got here from Captain Kent O'Donnell, let's see, it looks like they wanted to put out some information here just to, for the public. This is, you know, mainly for our listeners in the Billings area, but of course our friends in Hardin would appreciate this update as well. Captain Kent O'Donnell tells us that the funeral for Bighorn County Sheriff Darrell King is at Lockwood High School today from 9 a.m. till noon. So there will be a large law enforcement presence as they'll be out to honor Bighorn County Sheriff Darrell King. So traffic will be a little congested around the Lockwood area. After the funeral, he will be escorted to Hardin for burial The King family would like to thank the community for their support and understanding. A special thanks to the staff and administration for graciously allowing the use of their gym during this emotional time. But, yeah, I know Governor Gianforte and other statewide officials have sent out statements honoring Sheriff King as well. Not only the sheriff in Bighorn County, but also a military veteran as well. And so, yeah, glad to see law enforcement honoring him later this morning.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. 10 more Israeli hostages are expected to be released tonight, part of an expiring ceasefire deal. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
Looking at the next couple of days, we'll be focused on doing what we can to extend the pause so that we continue to get more hostages out and more humanitarian assistance in.
Blinken in Brussels, Belgium. He'll be back in Israel tonight. Unless he resigns first, which he says he won't do, a vote on expelling New York House Republican George Santos is expected tomorrow.
Are we to now assume that one is no longer innocent until proven guilty, and they are in fact guilty until proven innocent?
Federal criminal charges include campaign finance violations and also fraud. The House Ethics Committee report says there's clear evidence that Congressman Santos committed crimes. Expelling a member of Congress requires a two-thirds vote of the House. It's been done five times. America's listening to Fox News.
All right, let's see. I'm looking at the clock here. I want to get to this Jesse Waters segment from last night, talking about the little kid that triggered the media at a Kansas City Chiefs game. Definitely want to get to that story. Let's see. We've got this huge Supreme Court news coming up here in just a few minutes as well. Let's talk legislative special session real quick here. Jonathan M. Berrien for the Montana Television Network has this. Montana lawmakers will soon decide whether they want to hold a special session early next year to address tax-related issues, including a state Supreme Court ruling that settled a dispute over property tax calculations. Last week, the Montana Freedom Caucus announced that its members were making a formal request to call a special session January 15th, focused on tax relief. Now, a majority of the legislature, at least 76 members, must vote in favor of the special session in order for it to take place. In their press release, and by the way, thanks to the Montana Freedom Caucus for including me in their post on Twitter so that I saw the news just as they shared it. They want the legislature to consider four proposed pieces of legislation. That includes two directly related to the months-long debate over school equalization property tax mills, commonly known as the 95 mills. The Freedom Caucus called for changing state law to adopt the county's view on how the equalization mills should be capped. They also proposed reducing the total number of mills from 95 to 85 to reduce tax collections. In addition, Freedom Caucus members called for returning the state's projected surplus of around $230 million to taxpayers and for holding a referendum on a system to automatically return surplus revenue without requiring legislative action. According to Jonathan M. Berrien, lawmakers will have 30 days to return their ballots after they are mailed. So within 30 days, we should know whether or not a special session would be called for or not. But hey, there you go. $230 million. Apparently, that is the latest projected surplus. How many times have the Democrats and have news reporters, not Mr. M. Berrien, but other, you know, news reporters, how many times have they said, well, if those Republicans cut taxes, we're going to have deficits? If those Republicans give you tax relief, boy, we're going to have to cut some government programs because we're not going to have enough money flowing in. And how many times have we seen it? We've seen it over and over again since I was a kid in the Reagan 1980s. Rush Limbaugh, you know, in his See, I Told You So book, made this point. You cut taxes, you increase revenue. We've seen it time and time again. We had the Trump tax cuts. We got a Trump bump in revenue. We had the Gianforte Republican supermajority tax cuts and tax relief. And we have a continued surplus in revenue.
What I was told.
Hey, if you don't have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone, you got to do it, because you know those liberals at Facebook don't want you to see the content that we're producing. Montana Talks, download the app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, we got a great guest now with us here on Montana Talks. And then coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about. We'll have some open phones time later on in the 9 o'clock hour as well. But we got Attorney General Austin Knutson kicking off our 9 o'clock hour. So a lot of ground to cover here this morning on the show. But great guest with us now on the phone lines from Townsend, Montana. He's the Broadwater County Attorney. I believe he's the vice chair of the Montana Association that represents all of the prosecutors across the state as well. But then on top of that, man, he's been on countless military deployments and is now a full-bird colonel in the Montana Army National Guard. Corey Swanson, great to have you on the show this morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, Aaron. How are you?
Hey, doing great. Doing great. How's things looking in Townsend this morning?
Real cool, but we don't have any more snow, so I suppose we're going to at some point need some more of that on the ground.
Yeah, that's right. I know. I'm thinking, gal, it's almost December here, and we're going to start thinking ski season and much more now that hunting season, well, most of the hunting season's behind us. There's some other opportunities still out there, I guess. But, I think you got some big news to share with us here this morning.
I do, Aaron, and I appreciate you bringing me on your show this morning. So I've worked in the law for a number of years now. I graduated from law school about 20 years ago, and we just, one thing that is essential to the law working well is a court system that is functional, that we can trust, and judges that make good decisions. And I feel like I finally decided, you know, I've done, like you mentioned, I've been around the world a few times with the military, and I've got some experience, good and bad, right, that we've all have some lumps. But I want to put that experience to use. So I'm announcing today I'm going to run for the Chief Justice position for the Montana Supreme Court.
Well, I'll tell you, that's incredible news. Yeah, we very clearly just need good candidates to run for the Supreme Court seats. Two seats up next year, including the Chief Justice slot. And you're somebody who really fits a great bill all around. I mean, I mentioned not only are you the Broadwater County Attorney, an experienced prosecutor who has had time, you know, has had prosecuted, unfortunately, some high-profile cases, unfortunately, that you've had in front of you there in Broadwater County. Iraq War veteran, you were with the 163rd on multiple deployments. I think you were the battalion commander on their last deployment. And so, but then on top of that, you've worked in the Montana Department of Justice as well. So what I think is interesting is you're a guy who could have multiple opportunities, right? You could be a future attorney general down the road, candidate for a position like that. You could be the adjutant general of the Montana National Guard someday, potentially, too. But so why Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court? Why is this something that's so important to you?
Well, as you mentioned, Aaron, there's two positions open on the court right now. So Chief Justice McGrath is retiring, and then Justice Sandifer is retiring as well. And so there are two candidates in the associate justice position that are running right now. There is one candidate for Chief Justice. His name is Jeremiah Lynch. He's a retired federal magistrate. I don't know him well. I appeared before him once. But I just felt that when I looked at this race, that now is the time when we need a change on the court. And now is the time when we have an opportunity to actually bring that change. So I do bring a very different perspective. I've been in the trenches of the Montana courts for a while now. Done a lot of trials, a lot of criminal cases, done for Supreme Court cases. And then having worked for Tim Fox in the Department of Justice, really learned a lot about how the law functions at the state level and really the importance of having a court that can handle such a huge variety of cases. As a county attorney, county attorneys have just about the broadest practice that you can have in the law. We have to deal with everything. Lots of criminal cases, obviously, but a lot of civil stuff, a lot of local government, a lot of constitutional law stuff. And I feel like it's prepared me to take on this role. And when we look at all the battles and the back and forth the last few years between the court and the legislature and various branches of government, I don't view this as an opportunity for me to jump in and take sides. I view it as an opportunity for me to jump in and just be the very best, most impartial judge that I can be. Every case really comes down to the facts and law of that case. I don't think people should run for judge because they have an agenda that they want to go in and make this change or that change, or they want to, advocate a certain policy. If you want to advocate a policy, run for the legislature. For me, if I want to take the experience I have, including lessons learned from mistakes I've made, and be just the most impartial, most fair judge that I can be. And I think this is the opportunity to do that on the Supreme Court. And I think the Supreme Court really needs someone like me to advocate from that point of view.
Yeah, no, I think you hit the nail on it. I think so many Montanans now, they just want fairness. They just want judges and justices that are going there and rule based on the law and on our Constitution. And not, and like you said, you want to be a lawmaker? Well, go run for the legislature, not the Montana Supreme Court. And you're a guy who swore an oath to our Constitution already. You've defended our country already. And so I think you've got that honor that a position like this requires, like a Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court. You grew up on the High Line, eventually graduated from Manhattan High School. A lot of talent that comes out of Manhattan High School, isn't there?
Yeah, and I can't claim that I got more than my share of it, though. So when I was young, my folks, we lived up in the North Country, so we bounced around all over on the High Line, Haver, Shelby, Sunburst, Cutbank area. And then my dad worked full-time for the National Guard, so they moved him down to Bozeman, and we ended up going to Manhattan High School. And I grew up, literally my life's ambition was to be a rancher. That's all I wanted to do. But, I wasn't from a ranching family. And so that getting, if you don't have the land and you don't have the ability to do that, it's kind of tough to do that. So I did I studied farm and ranch management and animal science at Montana State for a year. And then went over to Carroll College and graduated there. And then did law school. And then immediately after law school, I didn't even take the bar exam. I graduated and shipped off to Iraq the first time. So it's really been a journey of, I didn't plan to ever be a Supreme Court justice. It was more of, my life has been when I see a need, I jump into it. And I feel like there is a need right now. And I'm with the years of experience I've had, not that I'm perfect. That's why we call it the practice of law. But I see a need and I want to jump into it.
Well, and it's so exciting, too, as a fellow Iraq veteran. It's so exciting to see, I know we're not necessarily young anymore, but it's exciting to see younger veterans now stepping up to the plate, much like the World War II and our Vietnam generation warriors stepped up to serve their country. That type of service, servant-based leadership is so desperately needed in this country. We've got too many elected officials, yes, on the courts that want to be served rather than to serve, and so I think that's another exciting front here. What I also think is interesting and good about your candidacy is you're not one of these bomb throwers. I think you'll be a distinguished jurist. You'll be a distinguished candidate. But at the same time, you're willing to step up and say boldly what needs to be said. I remember when the Biden Justice Department was basically out there calling on prosecutors to go after parents who were criticizing school boards. You stepped up. You spoke out publicly and said, no way. And you rejected publicly their efforts.
Yeah, that's right. I had forgotten about that. That was a couple of years ago. There was I think somewhere on some school board, somewhere in America, there were some people that got upset. But, literally, if you're going to run for the school board, you got to have some thick skin. And parents apparently felt like they weren't being weren't listened to. Well, I felt like the whole Merrick Garland directive was just such an overreaction. And not only that, but unlawful. And I work pretty closely with our school. I know all the administrators. I know a lot of the teachers. We have a monthly meeting with them. It's mandated by law. It's called an interdisciplinary meeting, and we bring a lot of people in helping, focused on, you know, are there kids that have trouble or whatever. And I will tell you, in schools in Montana, the number one thing that schools want is more parental involvement, not less.
Yeah.
Teachers love it when parents are more involved. Administrators and principals love it when parents are more involved. School boards love it when parents are more involved. I mean, the most controversial thing is who's going to be the basketball coach, usually. So when that came out, I just thought, holy cow, this person has no perspective of real life in the heartland. And also, I didn't believe that there was any lawful way they could do it. So I put out that statement right away saying that will not happen in Broadwater County. People don't know this, but usually if there's a federal case that could be, you know, discussed, usually a federal prosecutor talks to a state prosecutor before they take the case. I have one right now that I think is going to go federal, and I've been talking to them about saying, hey, I think you guys can take this case. It's a cooperative.
Tell you what, hold that thought. Corey Swanson, hold that thought. Quick break, and we'll talk more after the break.
Fox News commentary.
Border agents are inundated with illegals, but the real concern is not terrorism, human or drug trafficking, but pronouns. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
More illegals have flooded into this country since Joe took office than the populations of 38 individual states. Last week, the Tucson sector reported 15,000 illegal crossings, the highest weekly total ever. So what is our president doing to stop the surge? Nothing. But he is working hard to ensure that people who have no legal right to be here are not misgendered by border agents. Biden's DHS has issued official guidance to CBP agents to ask illegals what their preferred pronouns are and to be sure to use only gender-neutral language on the job. A copy of this memo was released thanks to Heritage Foundation oversight, and it's titled Guide to Facilitating Effective Communication with Individuals Who Identify as LGBTQI+. Another aspect of this directive demands that agents not assume the gender of any of the illegals they encounter and avoid using words like Mr., Mrs., Sir, or Ma'am. I'm Tommy Lahren.
Casting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, we'll get a story up on our Montana Talks website here shortly. So for those of you who are listening to this breaking news this morning and you want to know more about this now announced candidate for Chief Justice on the Montana Supreme Court, breaking that news right here on Montana Talks, we'll get the story on our website here shortly so you can, you know, learn more about him and his campaign. Corey Swanson, again, thanks for joining us here this morning. The Broadwater County Attorney also previously served as a Deputy Attorney General for the state of Montana and is currently, the Vice Chair of the Montana Association, the Montana County Attorneys Association, the Vice President of the Montana County Attorneys Association. Corey, what else did you want to tell folks about your campaign and why you're running for Chief Justice of the Montana Supreme Court? I know we had to cut it short a little bit there with that hard break before.
Yeah, well, you know, dealing with a lawyer, so I'll get long-winded. Feel free to cut me off anytime if I run into your commercial breaks. You know, Aaron, I really think that we're at an important time in Montana right now. We all can see that Montana is changing before us. We can all see that the national political landscape tends to affect us, I think, a lot more locally in our lives than it used to. And we're at a decision point of what kind of court do we want to have. There are people who believe, gosh, I've got to get in there and I've got to be a judge or I've got to be a justice on the Supreme Court because I want to make sure we get this done or we get that done. And I think that's the wrong approach. A judge should not go into the position wanting to advocate for certain changes, other than I think as the Chief Justice, there's some administrative things that you can do just as a leader of an organization. But in terms of your positions and the opinions you write, the judges should not go in with a preset outcome and agenda they want to advance. The judges should go in, the justices should go in with a commitment to fairness. Judge every case on the facts and law of that case. Do not bring in the baggage of, you know, whatever, I want to rewrite the Constitution or I want to rewrite the laws because the legislature is not doing it the way I want them to do it. And by the same token, I don't think, and so I'm talking about with a liberal activism. At the same time, I don't think conservative activism on the court is a good thing either. I mean, if you want to go back and read someone as controversial as Judge Robert Bork, he'll say conservative activists are as much a danger to the judiciary as liberal activists are. And so my goal is to be simply the fairest, most impartial justice I can be, decide each case based on the Constitution, the law, and the facts. And when you do that, people then can begin to, they can trust the court and they can begin to plan their lives around predictable law. If the law is constantly changing because of ideologies on the court, then that creates a lot of disruptions in society, whether it's economically or whether it's in criminal law, as I've experienced. And that's really not the role of the court. I want to get back to what the role of the court should be.
Well, obviously, they've got a big backlog. Things have been quite the mess, and we see how politicized our Montana Supreme Court is. We've just got to simply restore a balance and restore fairness and integrity to our Montana Supreme Court, if you ask me. Corey Swanson, again, great to have you on the show this morning. Do you have a campaign website, or how can folks follow you, find out more?
I do. We have a campaign website that's going to be going up today. So we kind of held everything in check until this morning just to make sure that we could get everything lined up. So today we'll be launching a campaign website. We've got a statewide press release out. I'll be doing interviews, filing my papers with the Commissioner of Public Practice so I can raise money. And we will be launching all of that quickly. So what I'll do, Aaron, is I can have my team send out another announcement to you as a link so you can post that if you're interested. Just in terms of people looking at your story and doing a follow-up.
Hey, perfect. Sounds good. All right. Well, Corey, thanks so much for calling in. And Colonel Swanson, I should say, also a full-bird colonel in the Montana National Guard of countless deployments under his belt and time away from family. And I wanted to give a shout out also. He was talking about, you know, how closely he is as the local county attorney, works with the schools, works with law enforcement when it comes to safety, security concerns, things like that. I also want to give a shout out. I know that school and that public school in Townsend, boy, I'll tell you what, they've been recognized for how great of supporters they are of military families as well. And so, you know, families like the Swanson family and their sacrifice, but so many other military families, you know, especially with it being so close to Helena there and some of the Guard families that might live in Townsend and then commute up to Fort Harrison, etc. So, Corey Swanson, great to have you on the show. Check out MontanaTalks.com here in about two mics, and we'll have the story on this big news about the Montana Supreme Court race here. Phone lines are open, plus we'll get to the Jesse Waters story, I promise, next.